And welcome back to the Learn to Code podcast. As you may guess, I've been through a lot recently. But anyway, I'm figuring out that part of my life right now. So, and I'm guessing that the pain of my loss is not going away anytime soon. So I decided to just try to push through the pain and keep doing the things that I want to do with my life instead of having regrets when I die, you know. So, in today's episode, I'm going to talk about remote work because it's 2022 already. If you're listening to this in the future, thank you for listening, by the way. But at this time, I've been working 2 years already, remote, fully remote. And it's been quite an experience because I've been having ups and downs with the entire remote work thing in the sense of, you know, I've been making a lot of mistakes. For example, either I do work a lot on some things that maybe I need to ignore at the time, but since I don't have anybody giving me a specific of the job that I'm supposed to be doing, became quite hard at the beginning, you know, defining what I'm supposed to do, especially when a manager is telling me what to do. Because most of the time, managers don't really understand or they don't really know how to explain the things that the product needs to get done, you know. So they sometimes, the managers need a little help on, from our side, I guess. But another thing that I realized when I get into remote work is that I basically just did what somebody else told me to do. And that sounds well and good because you basically execute orders from somebody else. And most of the responsibility is shared among the team, you know. If something fails or I am doing something that is not really that valuable for the product or the team, it's not really the executioner's fault. It's because probably somebody else ordered you to do something that proves to be pretty useless in the grand scheme of things, basically. So when you were remote, most of that responsibility is shifting back to the executioner. Basically, whoever codes or whoever is building the code is actually responsible for the results that that code delivers. And why is so? Because during my working time as a remote worker, I get to have basically 2 or 3 remote meetings via Microsoft Teams a day. So we get our morning meeting. Basically, it's a catch-up meeting to say the status updates on the project, on the task assigned, and that's basically it. Then, at the end of the day, we have another meeting to catch up with what was done during the day. Basically synchronized with other team members. And between those two meetings, we are going to have a lot of intermediary meetings, basically on-call meetings. You know, somebody just decided to call you out of the blue to clarify something or quote-unquote add more a subtask to your backlog, basically. So in that case, there is a lot of time lost, may I say, on these meetings because these meetings are done from 10 to 15 members and they last very long. I'm talking about at least an hour and a half sometimes. So the most important thing working remote, I will say, is to one, define what you are doing and basically lock everything that you do, because even if you are using something like the Jira board, that's well and good, but if you are not updating the Jira board constantly during the day, that's going to play against you. If you don't know what Jira is, you're very fortunate, and let's leave it at that. But anyway, something that I like to do to keep track of my own progress for myself, not really to show somebody else, is to open a text editor, a simple text editor, and create text files formatted as markdown files and basically log in a very simplified manner my progress and my activities during the day. So basically, I just create this folder called log, and inside you're going to find one text file for every single day. And inside this text file, I'm creating titles, which basically reads the day and the hour of the log. And right next to it, I just type away whatever I'm thinking about the project or whatever I'm resolving at the time. And basically, I create like a login system for my progress during the day. I'm writing this not for myself. Well, really, it's for myself. But I'm writing this like if I am explaining to myself what I'm doing at the time. So when I read that in the future, I can basically relocate myself very quickly on what I was supposed to do that day. This is very helpful because when you need to explain what had you been doing with your time, you can just read the log and then recap quickly. Something that I do also is to audio record the calls, the meetings, so I can recap quickly the entire meeting if necessary and take notes. If you have a video capture card, I already had one. When the meeting requires you to basically learn something on the screen, or maybe there is a presentation, or maybe there is a demo, and you need to understand and probably execute whatever is going to be on the demo, I really recommend you to record the entire session either on Microsoft Teams itself or using a video capture card or using a software like OBS to record your screen and whatever somebody is telling you. Most of the time, during these meetings, you are allowed to record everything as long as you tell everybody else that you are actually recording the meeting. So just disclose that publicly and that should be no problem at all. So why do I think that doing this is important? Well, when you're writing a log manually from yourself, you are creating memories, long-lasting memories by doing so. That's going to help you to locate whatever information you require in the future. Because today, everybody knows what they are doing today. But what about a week after? What about a month after or 6 months? Then, when you look back at these logs, you are going to have a more detailed overview of your progress in the project. And when the time comes and you need to explain yourself about something, you can basically just go back to your logs and explain yourself way better. I used to add in my log not just a paragraph or just simple text. I also like to include timestamps with the locations on the videos where important stuff is being demonstrated or explained. For example, you know what? On this file, and there is the name of the video file, on minute 3, on second 24, we start an explanation of how to, we are supposed to, I don't know, implement something here, or how to save our GitHub repository on the cloud or something like that, I don't know. Something. So you write down that, you type it, you save it, and in the future, if you need to locate that specific information, instead of just going through the videos yourself, and I had done that before, you can just, you know what, on this file, I'm going to save all the important titles of the videos, you know, and I'm looking for in which video is going to be the explanation for this thing. Well, there is an index here, okay? So here on this index, in this video index, I'm going to find, you know what, here's the video, and now I can just look for the file name inside my logs, and whatever I see that file name, maybe that's where I'm going to find the piece of information I want. So basically, and I'm mentioning this before, after But the thing is, it's really important for you to create a video log, basically, which is when you save your videos, basically you are going to create the name of the video with the date and the hour or the time of the recording. And that's all well and good, but you need to think also about, these files are going to become a lot with time when the time passes, and the date and the time is not going to tell me what was the video about. So that's why when after you record the video, you either rename the video. I don't really recommend that one because it's going to be very messy looking for it in the future, and or create a text file where you describe the name of the video and what the video is about or what the meeting was about. If you want to go deep, you can rewatch the video and add timestamps to the video itself in the file, so you already know in detail what's going on there. I would like you to recommend you to look for Google about timestamps on YouTube videos. I think they are called chapters. So if you learn how to do chapters on YouTube videos, you are on the right track, basically, because that's the right way to do basically chapters inside your videos. I'm not recommending you to upload to YouTube your private corporate meetings, but I am recommending you to create timestamps of your videos privately. Don't upload them to YouTube. But that's what I would recommend. Basically, when you are working remote, there is a highlight on knowing what the worker is actually doing during work hours. So I would recommend you to keep a log, create an Excel spreadsheet or a PDF file, something that you can basically share with your superiors if you need to give an explanation of what you've been working on. And if you are working with Jira or some other progress software management system out there, well, I would recommend you highly to use it and learn how to properly be transparent on the app. Obviously, if you are going to do this, you cannot be slack enough during the job. So you are supposed to deliver whatever is expected from you and nothing else. That's another great tip I would like to give you. If you are working remote, just fulfill the expectations. Do not. If you are going to have extra time from your work hours and you already finished your task, I would recommend you to step back a little bit. Use that time to either relax, decompress, or if you want to do something productive, invest that time back into you. How? If you have a subscription to a Udemy course or a plural size subscription, or you have LinkedIn Learning or Coursera or whatever the case may be, use those working hours to learn a skill that is going to make you more efficient in your actual job. For example, I am currently working as a data engineer for a mining company. So if I have free time after a meeting or after completing the day's tasks, I will actually pick up, you know what? I may like to learn Python and Pandas library to manage these ETL tasks way easier. Because sometimes I don't have access to a database engine at the time. So I'm working just with text files, comma separated values. So I am more used to work with SQL databases, but if your data sources are basically just text files, well, learning Python, or may I say, have a refresh on Python, and learning how to properly use Pandas on the full extent of the library is going to be a very big plus on your current job. And that's what I'm suggesting you to do. If you are working as a front-end developer and you're working with Node.js, you know what? Maybe you can spend 1 hour of the job of the workday dedicated to learn React, or maybe learning how to create React hooks, or working with Node.js or Express.js, or maybe you want to try out Python and Django. So basically, you have a wide selection of skills to learn that can help you out on your current job. What about if you are a designer? Well, you may like to learn specific things on Photoshop, maybe, or Canvas. If you are working with video editing or audio editing, the Premiere Studio, Adobe Premiere, or whatever the name of the video editor is. I think it's Premiere is the editor, or is the audio editor. I don't remember. Whatever the case may be, I'm pretty sure that you know that there is a skill you don't really understand and you may really like to have that is going to impact positively in your job. So dedicate 1 hour a day to do just that. If you're working in backend development and you are an AWS monkey, maybe you may like to, you know what? Maybe I want to learn Google Cloud. Maybe I want to learn Microsoft Azure, something like that. You can add that as part of your repository of skills. And although in that case, learning another cloud service to do the same thing, basically, that may sound like that may sound like redundant at best. The truth is that not all clients like to work with AWS. Some clients already have their projects working on Azure, or maybe they want to move into Google Cloud. So having the flexibility to work with whatever cloud service you may like is going to be a really big plus. So that's why I basically suggest to, you know, if you have extra time after completing your tasks for the day, I would recommend you to take a break and or spend an hour a day learning a new skill that is relevant to your current job. I don't really recommend you learning, let's say, how to play the guitar if your job is not playing the guitar. If you are working with, woodsmithing? Is that how it's called? Carpentry? If you are working with carpentry, well, trying to learn something related to your job during work hours. If you have actual free time, do whatever you want to do with your free time. If you want to learn how to play the guitar during your free time, play the guitar. If you have free time during work hours, dedicate that time to learn something about the job, or learn something or a new skill that is going to aid you to be more efficient, which in turn is going to reward you with even more time during work hours. It's nothing better than to see a lot of your time not being wasted doing a mechanical task, for example. How many times have we seen that the new colleague on the job working with spreadsheets with Excel, and you are just looking at him suffering away doing a mechanical task over and over again, when you can basically, you know what, if I will do that, I will do that with this trick and I will be done in 2 seconds. That happens a lot. So maybe you can introspect and think about yourself, and maybe you are that guy too, but in another level. Maybe you are doing something mechanically that can be automated by the machine and you just don't know how to do that. That's my spot right now. I know that working with comma-separated values, in my case, is very mechanical, is very boring, and is very repetitive. And Excel is helping me out a lot, but what happens when the dataset is going to become in the millions of rows? It's not going to be so fast then. So I'm preparing myself working with Python, because it's been like more than a year since I programmed anything in Python. And I may like to learn Pandas, because Pandas is a really good library to work with comma-separated value files. Basically, it's Excel with steroids. So I will recommend you to learn how to use that library and Python at the same time. Well, that's going to be all for today. Thank you for listening, if indeed you are, and have a nice day.